You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Romans, the 8th chapter. Hallelujah. You know, I started several weeks ago, and we had a little bit of an interim between there. I started several weeks ago talking about how that we're ambassadors for Christ, and then that were letters of Christ, epistles of Christ, letters written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. And then we had Easter, which is I taught on the resurrection. Then we had Pastor Jerry Cox last week. So I really want to get back to that series today and finish it up, teaching along those same lines that, you know, you and I have a responsibility as Christians, as believers. It's not about just going to heaven. It's about shining a light while we're here. Amen? And we're going to heaven. That's taken care of. I'm going to heaven. Man, I'm going. I got reservations, I got invitations, I got a ticket, I'm going. Hallelujah. Jesus paid the price for my sin, and I am heaven bound. Hallelujah. So when I leave this earth, don't cry for me. Just kick my old body in a hole somewhere, I'm not there. I'm in heaven. Are you with me? And so I know that, but I have an obligation while I'm here. And it really comes down to that. We're here to represent Jesus while we're here. And to make a difference while we're here. We live in a fallen world, a broken world. A lot of things are wrong with this world. So we've got all kinds of provisions and promises that God has given us to help us along life's way. But our ultimate goal and purpose is to shine our light, to be love to someone, to be forgiveness to someone, to be help to someone, to be an encouragement to someone, to be in the place of Jesus while we're here. Every one of us is in his place. Every one of us represents him. We're ambassadors for Christ. Amen? Every one of us is a letter written to the world that Jesus is Lord, that he is alive and well. And our victories reflect that. Our love reflects that. Our attitude, our integrity, our character reflect that. And we often don't talk much about that. Sometimes we'll talk about the benefits, and rightly so, we need to talk about the benefits because we don't want to forget them. But we also ought to balance that with the promises and the benefits of serving God. We need to balance that with the responsibility and obligation we have as a Christian to serve him. Amen? What's this thing all about? Why are we still here? If it's just about heaven, well, we should have just gone there as soon as we accepted Jesus. But we're still here. So every one of us has a purpose. Now, there's individual purposes. You know, I'm not talking about callings like a pastor or an evangelist or, you know, maybe God's called you in the business world or maybe called you into another world, whatever. I understand those are different. But all of us have this calling and this purpose and this obligation to be like Jesus. Amen? Every one of us do. And that's what really keeps us straight. As soon as you get mad, you know Jesus wouldn't have done that. Are you with me? As soon as you fly off the handle, you know, well, you know what? Jesus wouldn't have done that. I shouldn't do that. And so he's eternally our gauge. He's our standard that we go by, our example that we look to. And this is why we're here. That's why we're still here. So don't forget your purpose. When purpose is lost, abuse is inevitable. I mean, think about it. You'll start abusing what this thing called Christianity is all about. It's not about just being blessed, but it is part of it. That is part of it. And I believe in being blessed. I believe in being healed. I believe in prospering and all those things. But I believe my life, my character, my actions, my deeds, my words should reflect him. That's my mission. That's my purpose. So that people can be saved and be healed, people be set free, so on and so forth. Romans 8, have you found it? Amen. Okay. So, goodness, I don't even know where to start. I want to get it in context. I want to start in Genesis 1. Now, I look at 8, the verse I'm going to, and I want to read 1 before and 1 before, 1 before. I tell you what, let's just start at here's a common verse, 28th verse. We'll start there. It's not the one I'm getting to, but I do want to start with this one. A commonly misinterpreted verse, incidentally. It says, we know that all things work together for good. You know, people often stop there and they'll say, well, everything just works together for God's good. Well, I want to tell you right now, everything does not work together for good. Some things work better for your detriment, for your hurt, and for your pain because of choices you made or choices other people made. You know, when Hitler killing all the Jews wasn't a good. That was an evil. Are you with me? And everybody doesn't get blessed by tragedy in their life. You know, you can think of people getting saved or getting healed at a funeral. If so-and-so hadn't died, they wouldn't have heard the gospel, you know, and they wouldn't have got saved. Or if they hadn't gone through this trouble, they'd have never turned to God. And you know, we try to use those examples to say that, you know, well, They just needed all those bad things to happen to them before they got saved. Well, no, they didn't. They didn't need. They could have turned to Jesus any time. Are you with me? And for every one that you see that has gone through all that bad stuff to turn to Jesus, there's probably 10 or 20 that didn't turn to Jesus. Are you with me? So you can't say that, because if you say bad things bring us to God, then everybody ever had tragedy would come to God. They don't. You know they don't. I know they don't. Sometimes people get mad at God in tragedy. It's not what happens to you. It's what you do when something happens to you that determines the outcome. Well, you get to Jesus or not, it's your choice. You could say, you know, this broken road has brought me to God. No, I'll tell you the road that brought you to God. Jesus Christ brought you to God, and he died for your sins and rose again, and you could accept him any time, and you did not have to go through that broken road to get there. You did not have to lose three wives and, are you with me, and go to jail for 50 years to get saved. You could have got saved any time. Now, granted, you're so hard-headed it might have took that much. Are you out there? But that wasn't God's fault. So even when it says all things work together for good, well, if people go into hell, is that good? No, that's not good at all. So it didn't work out good for them, everybody in hell. So what's he saying? He says all things work together for good to those who love God. Are you out there? Now let's take that out. Do all things work together for good if you don't love God? No. So all things don't work together for good. But all things do work together for good for those that love God. In other words, the devil throws his best shot. God will turn it around for good for me because I'm going to pray and believe God. I love God. So even all the pain he throws and tragedy the devil throws at me, God will turn around because I'm going to pray. I'm going to call on God. I love God. But he can throw it at another guy that doesn't love God and it won't work good for him at all. You know, it's kind of neat to read a whole verse instead of half verse, isn't it? Or put the verse in context even. Oh, there's a new one. Didn't think about that. So it says, we know all things that work together for good. And listen, I can quote that verse. I can quote that verse because I love God, and I know that when the devil throws his best shot, I am not going to give in to it. I'm going to resist it. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to believe God, and God's going to turn this thing around. No matter how bad it is, he's going to turn it around because I am trusting God. Are you with me? God didn't throw the bad stuff at me. He's going to turn it around in Jesus' name. Because I pray, because I love God. But that bad stuff will destroy some other people. Listen, the devil can throw me in the fire, but when it's all over, I'll still be standing. I won't even have the smell of smoke on me. He throws somebody else in the fire, it'll burn them up. Are you out there? But if I love God... See, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego loved God, so it made a difference. The bad thing was turned around because they loved God. But the guards that threw them in were burned up. Remember that? The only thing that burned off Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were the bounds and the ropes and the things that tied them down. When the devil throws his best shot at you when it's all over, if you'll believe God, the only thing that's going to be burned off of you is the things that bound you. He'll lose and we'll win. Amen? So it says, obviously, in context, reading the whole verse, it says we know that all things work together for those that love God, to those who are called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. God's will and destiny for you and for me is to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. And Jesus was to be the firstborn among many brethren. You know, when we think about Jesus in his sinless life and his love and his compassion and his forgiveness and his holy living, that was an example for us to follow. Wow. Are you out there? Now think about it. His compassion and his sinless life and his holy living is not what saved you. What saved you was his death, burial, and his resurrection. Sure is getting quiet in this Presbyterian church. God bless Presbyterians. We're not Presbyterian. God bless Presbyterians. All that was necessary for him to go up to the cross, leading up to the cross to give his life for our sin. I understand that. But if he hadn't died for our sins, if he hadn't gone to hell, as it were, because that's where he went when he died, is what the scripture says. If he hadn't done that and then rose again, and come out of that grave that third day, you and I wouldn't be saved. His death, his burial, and his resurrection is what saved us. So what's all the other stuff about? Well, it's about an example. It's about a pattern for us to follow. It's about a challenge for us to live our lives that way. In fact, God foreknew us and God predestined us to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be not the last one, but the firstborn among many brethren. So there's a lot of Jesuses around here, amen? So that all of us reflect Jesus and all of us live like Jesus, all of us love like Jesus. And if you go through the scripture, New Testament, New Covenant, you start going some of the writings of Paul and Peter and James and look at the, you'll see things like forgive as Christ forgave you. Are you with me? Be ye imitators of God as dear children. In Ephesians, he says that. We love because He first loved us. In other words, everything He did, we do. Isn't that right? We follow His example. We pattern our lives after Him. This is our destiny. Whatever else we do, whatever little calling we've got, you know, whatever gift or ministry you and I have, this one we all have, and this is common to us all, every one of us are supposed to be like Jesus. Hallelujah. And He'll help us do it. I mean, it's not like He left us on a lurch here, you know, and threw us out in the middle of the jungle and said, go for it. No, He actually gave us a guide, the Holy Spirit, and gave us all the equipment we need, the promises of God, hallelujah. And we can do this thing. We can do this thing. We are created in Christ Jesus unto good works that God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Ephesians 2:10, amen. We were created for this purpose. We are God's creation. God made us to do this, just like a guy make a car to run. You know, if it didn't run, he wasn't a very good, you know, mechanic. He didn't do a good job. But if he's a good mechanic and he did a great job, then when he got through with it, it did what it was functioned or designed to do. Amen. Well, God made us and designed us to do good works. He made you to love. He made you to forgive. He made you to pray. He made you to live holy. He made you that way. Ever since you've been saved, you're God's creation. God doesn't make junk. Don't you say you can't love. Don't say you can't forgive. Don't say you can't live holy. You can do it. It may take some effort, may take some training, but you can do it. Hallelujah. You can be like Jesus. You can be Jesus to somebody. You know, Jesus believed in people. Jesus forgave people. Jesus accepted people, received them, helped them, blessed them, reached out to them, encouraged them, made them feel like $1 million. You know, I can remember going to Lakewood Church in Houston. Brother Osteen was our pastor for years. And one thing about Lakewood, you walked out of there feeling like $1 million. You walked out of there feeling like you could take on the world. You walked out of there just empowered with the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen? I mean, you felt like, man, let the devil throw his best shot. I'll still be standing when it's all over. I got the name of Jesus. I got the Holy Ghost. I got the Word of God. Hallelujah. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Future's so bright, you got to wear shades. I mean, you just felt good. You walked out of there encouraged, lifted. You know, you had faith for the future, courage for the future. And that's the way it should be. Hallelujah. We're Christians. We're believers. We got something we didn't have before. We have Jesus. We have the Holy Spirit. We didn't have that before. We got all of His promises, and we're learning daily what they are and what He's saying, and man, it's good. The more I search out the territory, it's a good land, a land that flows with milk and honey. Hallelujah. And I am here to represent Him. There's no greater compliment for someone to say they see Jesus in you. Are you with me? Or they recognize the Spirit of God on you. Or love, or they sense His love, or they're encouraged by you. That just awesome compliment. So it says, for whom He did foreknow, He also predestined to be conformed. Everybody say conformed. Now see, that's a change. You have to, in other words, when you get saved, you need to break that old mold that you've been in. That old way of thinking, that old way of acting, way of talking. I know when I got saved, I had to change the way I talked, you know, because I didn't talk right. And now I'm not talking about just Essex's accent, but I was a world champion purple ribbon bona fide cusser when I got saved. In fact, that was one of Brent's biggest gripes before I got saved is the way I talked around the table with little Chris at the table. Quit talking like that in front of Chris. Don't talk like it. You know, I was lost. I didn't know God. And so I come from a long line of cussers, and I was really good at it, you know, and drugs and all those kinds of things. And people ask about, you know, sports and things like that in school. I did drugs. I was good at it. I was real good at it, you know. I didn't get any medals or anything, but anyway. I lost a lot of stuff. That's what it did. Lost a lot of friends and relationships and so on and so forth because it's a terrible way to live. But when I got saved, you know, when I got saved, I'm still me. I still have my mind. I still have all my memories. I still have my habits. I still have all the ways I did things still in me. My spirit's born again, but I'm still in this body, same body, same head in there, same memories in there. And so I noticed the first week or two, it just, you know, I got saved. Just a cuss word to come out because that's just, you know, that was my vocabulary. I actually had to learn a new language because my language consisted of that. You know, some people today, you talk to them and they don't know how to make a sentence without a cuss word in it. You ever know what I'm, you know what I'm saying? Some movies are that way. I think, my Lord, man, it's unreal. I'm thinking, can you not make one sentence without just a cuss word in it? But when I first got saved, that just kind of fell out on the ground. You know, I would just, a cuss word just come out and go, well, it didn't feel right for one thing because now I'm born again. And I'm thinking, wow, that probably shouldn't say that. That didn't sound right, you know. Felt kind of bad about it. But it took me a little bit to change that. Now, that's why we have to be patient with each other. And we're not here to judge people. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about our own personal life, trying to be like Jesus. My job is not to make you like Jesus. My job is for me to be like Jesus. And so those first few weeks, I had to really work on that. I really did. Because it was reactionary. You know, I'd stump my toe and something not good would come out. Are you out there? Why are y'all looking at me so funny? I mean, I'm trying to be transparent here, and y'all want to take me out for the wash and hang me on the line here. But so anyway, I trained myself to where, you know, I'd say, okay, I'm going to stop that, and I'd stump my toe and say, glory to God. Or I'd hit my head and say, hallelujah. Now you couldn't beat a cuss word out of me because it just naturally, I learned that behavior. Well, now I learned another behavior. See, talking bad is just learned behavior is all it is. So why not just learn some good behavior? Now when something bad goes on, I say, oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, goodness. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. That's when I really hurt, you know. Hello. But, I mean, I trained myself. I had to turn it around. I had to be conformed. Yeah. Are you out there? So I began to conform the things I read, the things I watched, and, you know, it took a while. It was learned behavior. If you're going to be like Jesus, you got to work on it. You have to work on it. And we're not talking about being a bad person or a good person. We're just talking about things you pick up just from living your life. You pick up bad things and good things. But you could, here's a new concept, you could live your life on purpose. Woo. With a purpose. To decide, I'm going to talk this way and not that way. I'm going to act this way and not that way. You know, and it takes a while to do that. In fact, turn over to Romans 12. Hallelujah. This helping anybody? Yes. Gets real quiet when I teach on holy living, but we need to hear it. Amen? Amen. Tell you what, it really does come down to that. You got to live holy. You got to live right. If you're going to be like Jesus, you need to do that. I'm not talking about being saved. I'm not talking about going to heaven. I'm not talking about God's love for us. I'm talking about our purpose and our mission on this earth. Hallelujah. I want people to run to me when they have a problem. I want people to call my phone when they're in need. I want them to know that I will pray with them and that I will stand with them and I'll help them get out of the mess they're in. You know, that's the thing. You may live your life in front of someone for years and they just don't respond, but you keep living for Jesus and you keep loving them, but one day that phone's going to ring. And it's going to be worth it all. It may be years, but it'll be worth it all when that phone does ring. Are you out there? Hallelujah. Romans 12, notice what it says. First verse, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. This just makes good sense. I mean, this is our reasonable service, is to live right before God, pure and simple. Are you out there? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Everybody say living sacrifice. Okay, God is not looking for people who will die for him. We have these grandiose delusions, you know, and illusions in life as a Christian, you know, that we're going to be nailed to the cross or be martyred for Jesus. But really, it's in the daily mundane things of life that we serve God. The way we answer the phone, the way we live our life, the kind of husband, what kind of wife we are, the way we do business with people, the way we live our lives, raise our children, work on a job. Those are seemingly mundane things that go on every day, 24/7, and God's very much interested in the way we live our lives at those times. Amen? He's looking for a living sacrifice, not a dying one, but how do we live our lives? Conform it to Jesus. Live it, you know, like Jesus. You know, people want to be, when you think about it, people are really common in this respect. They want to be heard. They want to be understood. They want to be cared for. They want to be loved, and they want to be needed. You know, that's not, I don't care where you go, it's going to be the same in any society, in any culture, with anybody. So if you be the kind of person that cares, and you be the kind of person that listens to people, and you be the kind of person that understands, that encourages people, and sees value in people, people will flock to you, and people will see Jesus in you. And then you can minister to them. But I think sometimes we're just so brazen, you know, that we're telling people about Jesus, but we're hateful about it, we're mean about it, we're telling them we're going to hell, we're not seeing any value, we're not listening to them, and you know what? They're not listening to us. Are you out there? Because people don't care how much you know till they know how much you care. Pure and simple. And our life is a message, not just what we say. See, my whole life should be a message. You know, people of my past that come around me now should see a difference in me from the way I was in the past. And that takes time. I remember, you know, I've told the story, but old Bubba Bush, that was his name. I was working on a cooling tower in, I don't remember where it was. But anyway, we worked so many different places on those cooling towers. And I was witnessing to Bubba. Bubba's from Center Texas. I'm from Center Texas. And Bubba knows about my life back then. You know, at that time, I'd been saved just a few years. And I was witnessing to Bubba and telling him about Jesus. And Bubba looked at me right now and he says, Michael Williams, I know you. If you're going to heaven, I'm going to heaven. I know you. And what he meant was he knew the way I was. You know, and I told him that. I said, Bubba, I'm not that person anymore. You know, you knew who I was, but you don't know who I am right now. I mean, we're just working on a job, so it wasn't a whole lot of time to explain all that to him, but I did the best I could, you know, and prayed for him, so on and so forth. And hadn't seen Bubba in years and years and years. I just heard the other day he's going to church at Don's church. Got right with God and going to church. My sister was telling about Bubba Bush being there. Can't wait to see Bubba. I haven't seen Bubba in 40 years. 35 years at least, I guess, since I witnessed to him a long, long time ago. But you never know what impact you have on people's lives. I'm not saying I had an impact on Bubba, and that's why I got saved. But you never know. Maybe that one little snippet of time was part of a million things that God used, are you with me, for him to think about and remembered old Mike Williams got saved, and then Don Murphy got saved. He's pastor of a church in my hometown, a guy I've witnessed to for years. And finally, it just comes around. That's what we're saying. Get right. And you're just a whole lot easier to be around with. Well, I am. Any of us would be. Come on. So what do we do? Well, it says in the second verse, Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world. Watch it that you don't pick up things from this world. Pick up the anger this world has. Pick up the brazen, kick the door down and just shoot everybody but your friend, you know, that you pick up in the movies and the shows you see today. It's like that priest interviewed this Spanish Spanish warrior. He was, I forgot what time period, probably 1600s, 1700s. I forgot the guy's name even. But he was on his deathbed, and he was reading his last rites, and he says, whoever his name was, he said, you need to, this would be a good time now. You know, you're going to die. You need to forgive all your enemies. And he says, I have none. I killed them all. You don't want the end of your life to be that way, to where you don't have any enemies because you killed them all. Come on, you need to forgive your enemies. Are you with me? You need to not live your life trying to get back at people all the time. Come on, let's be like Jesus. I want to be like Jesus. I want people to see some love, that there is some love around here. There is some compassion around here. Hallelujah. People do see value. You know, I want people to know that they're important, they count, they have value. I want to convey that instead of just continually cutting them down. Hello. It's easy to criticize. Anybody can criticize. Those that row the boat don't have time to rock it. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. Here it is, by the renewing of your mind. What have you been thinking about yourself or about others? Is it in line with the scripture? Is it in line with what God says? Well, if you don't renew your mind, you won't be transformed. Like it says here, be not conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. How does God see that person you're so upset about? How does God see that relative of yours you're not getting along with? I mean, you need to renew your mind with God's word. How does God see you? See, you're not the jerk you think you are sometimes. Sometimes we beat ourselves over the head. You're not as bad and evil and wicked as you think you are. You got greater potential than you realize you do. Something's happened to you in Christ Jesus. You're a new creature now. Quit condemning yourself. Quit seeing yourself as worthless. Start seeing value in yourself because God sees value in you. Start seeing yourself as a winner instead of a loser. You say, well, everything I ever tried, I failed at. Well, it's not over yet. Hello? Well, this book is looking pretty bad. Yeah, but the book's not finished. And you still got ink in the pen. And you can still write another chapter. Amen? Let's write a good one. Amen? Let's get God's word out and let's write a good chapter in our life. Let's go forward in our future and turn this thing around. Hallelujah, somebody. Amen? So it comes from, well, it comes from renewing your mind with the word. Hallelujah. And turn with me, if you will, to Ephesians 4. Wow. Give me 5 more minutes. I'm closing in on 12. In Ephesians, well, Ephesians 4 and Colossians 3, excuse me. Did I cough right into the mic? It's good. I want you all to get the full benefit of that. No sense in me just enjoying it all by myself. Okay. Ephesians 4. Notice what it says here in the 25. Let's start there. Therefore, put away lying, obviously. Quit lying. Can I tell y'all as your pastor, quit lying, okay? Y'all just quit it. It's not good for you. Besides, you ain't got a good enough memory to keep lying like that. You know, if you lie all the time, you got to have a good memory because you got to remember the last lie you told, and you got to remember who you told it to. You know, well, I don't have that good a memory, so I'm just going to tell the truth and be safe that way. Therefore, put away lying. Let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Why would you lie anyway? Do you not see how we're all connected here and that, you know, it's going to come back around? Somebody's going to find out. Kids do that all the time. They lie to their parents. They think they're never going to find out. They think for some reason their parents have always been parents, that they've never been kids. Are you with me? And they don't understand the network, the spy network that parents have today. They're connected. Parents are connected. You know, they know. They know other parents. They know other kids. And, you know, it gets around. But it says, therefore, put away lying. Let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Now, anybody got angry before? Okay. He's not saying you don't get angry. He's just saying be angry and sin not. Amen? Get over it. Things make me mad. Things make you mad. But it's what you do after you get mad. Do you just hang on to it or you let it go? Y'all catch that? I like that. Because just the fact that your emotions trip over doesn't mean you sinned. What when you start sinning is when you start talking or you start acting on it. What you have to do now is just when the anger comes up, just push it back down. Pray. Get in God's presence. Be angry. Sin not. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. In other words, if you're mad at your wife, you got till the sun goes down. That's pretty good in the summer because it's like 9 o'clock. You got a little longer. Moving right along. Be angry and sin not. Oh my goodness. Nor give place to the devil. Do you know you give him a place in your life when you do these things? That's why God wants you to live right. Because he loves you. He actually really cares. And he knows that when you sin, you're opening a door for the devil to move in your life. God doesn't want that to happen. Amen? He just goes on and on. But I take it back up to the 20th verse. This is it. I'm wrapping it up. 20th verse. You have not so learned Christ. He talks about several sins prior to that. Everybody say, learn Christ. Boy, that's a mouthful. Have you learned Christ? That's a good question. We learned about him, about him saving us, but have we learned him in our actions and our words and our relationships and the way we live? We need to learn Christ. We pick up sayings from movies. We pick up sayings from books we've read, and we repeat little ditties we hear on TV all the time, and we start saying the same thing. You know, go ahead, make my day. You know, that the whole generation out here is going, what is that? What? But we hear things, we pick up a little saying, and we quote it, and we institute it into our lives. You know, well, he's saying, let's learn Christ. Let's see what he did. Let's repeat his words now when we get into a situation. You have not so learned Christ like all the sins he just talked about. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, and as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct or the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Everybody say, old man. See, before I got saved, that was an old man. That's the old man. After I got saved, this is the new man. Now, what am I doing putting on the old man? Still talking the way I used to talk, walking the way I used to walk, acting the way I used to act. I need to act different now because I'm a new man. Are you with me? I'm not who I used to be. So what I need to do is put off that old man, that former conduct and conversation, the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. If you walk down that road of bitterness and revengefulness and criticism, you're going to get worse and worse and worse and worse. If you walk down the road of loving and forgiving and praying about everything and lifting people up to God, you're going to get better and better and better and better. Bad man gets worse and a good man gets better. It's just a matter, of growing and planting seeds. Whatever you plant, you're going to reap. Amen? So if you love people, you give that a few years, and I'll tell you, it's going to change you. See, this is different than a play. I think of a play as playing a part, an actor or an actress playing a part. They get up there, they play this part, the movie's over, they go back to who they are. The show's over. That's called acting. Well, in this thing, when you act out love, when you don't feel it, and you act out forgiveness when you don't feel like it, and you live right when you want to do something else, this is different because what happens here is you start changing into what you start doing. You really start loving people. You really start wanting to do holy things and right things. It changes you. This is not a play. This is not some theater. This is not some movie. This is life. And in life, what you do on a continual basis forms you and transforms you and conforms you. And that's what he's saying, let's follow Jesus because we don't want to be like that other person. We don't want that to grow. We don't want to grow old and get senile and mean. We want to get nice. I don't want to say senile and nice, but we want to get nice. Okay, let's wrap it up. Put off concerning your former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Now, you've been born again. Let's put this on. Let's get this out of the inside of us. Let's live out this thing called Christianity. Let's live it out loud and live it out in front of everybody. Let's love in front of everybody. Let's live holy in front of everybody. Amen? Let's do the Word and live the Word and let people see the Word or see Jesus in us by this new life. Hallelujah. Conform to His image. You can do it. Amen? This is our project for the rest of our life, okay? I just gave you a project for the rest of your life. Not homework this week. This is forever, you know. But do it, and it'll bless you and everybody around you. Hallelujah.